Now may we look at the essential vision in John chapter 12 and verse 21. We would see Jesus. This was the request asked by certain Greeks who were visiting Jerusalem at the time of the Passover feast. As wise men had come from far off Gentile nations at our Lord's birth, Matthew 2 and verse 1, so now these Gentiles came at his death. The coming of the Gentiles was surely a meaningful happenstance. The Lord did not answer their request, brought to him by Andrew and Philip, but spoke some rather strange words. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He seemed to be indicating that none could really see who he truly was until after his death, resurrection, and ascension. The real sight of Christ must be a spiritual apprehension of him in three great facts of his life. This is the essential vision. First of all, we must see him as the crucified Christ. Except a corn of wheat die, and he says, if I be lifted up from the earth. Both are words which signify his coming death. John 12, 24 and 32 and 33. As the corn of wheat in the parable, our Lord was, as it were, a divine seed. But the mere fact of his being in our flesh was not sufficient to bring forth a living harvest out of our dead humanity. To see Jesus as a teacher, or a miracle worker, or a moral example, would never be vision enough to secure pardon for the guilty, salvation for the lost, or life for the dead. The Word became flesh, must be cast into the ground, and die. Nothing in him could be released, save through death. Without dying, he would abide alone, as in the case of any grain of wheat. Without death, he could never communicate life. His body must be broken. The life which is in the blood must be poured out. This is vital to a true and essential and saving vision of the Lord Jesus. This is a miracle which we constantly observe in nature and which must become real in our experience if we are to understand the value of the cross. Death imparts life. It is through our Lord's death that he draws men to himself. He is that Shiloh to whom the gathering of the people should be. We see on the day of Pentecost this tremendous drawing power of his when Peter told of the crucified Savior. 3,000 were immediately converted, 5,000 later, and many of the priests. They were convicted of sin, and just as the eyes of wounded Israelites were drawn to the brazen serpent in the wilderness, so these Jerusalem sinners, in the bonds of death, looked to the crucified Savior as their hope of salvation. And so the Greeks said, we would see Jesus. Ah, yes, but you must see him lifted up upon the cross. So the first essential in this vision is that of the crucified Christ. Secondly, we must see him as the conquering Christ. This seed, which is Christ, is divine. and contains the treasure of eternal life. Having died, the seed of life rises. We see this all the time in nature. But who takes knowledge of this wonder? Not that life should go into death, but that life should spring out of death. Death came into the world through sin. Genesis 2 and verse 17. But Christ, having died, was quickened from the dead, and as the corn of wheat, rose triumphant from the earth. A man is a fool, said the apostle Paul, if he cannot see that in nature. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 36. But only he who was the eternal life could do that in our humanity. None ever rose from the dead, but he who was the eternal life. Philosophy cannot account for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Scripture declares, and all natural processes testify and confirm it, that under God, death is the way to life. So while our Lord went into the mystery of death, he also rose triumphant out of it by the power of resurrection life. He broke the grip which death had upon all mankind. In entering that citadel of death, he, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Let us never forget that he went into the death of the cross as a conqueror. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, he said. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ also brings the assurance of our resurrection. Because he rose, we shall rise also. He is our forerunner, who has gone into heaven to prepare a place for us. He holds the keys of that inheritance. For us, therefore, death and the grave are vanquished. Because he lives, we are assured we shall live. John 14 and verse 19. This triumph is the second part of that essential vision which brings salvation. We are to see Jesus as the conquering Christ, the one who burst the bands of death and took the power of death from the hands of Satan. Thirdly, we are to see him as the crowned Christ. Our Lord not only died and rose again, but ascended to the throne of heaven. So when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That could only come by revelation. When his work was completed, he had glorified the Father, and he had glorified the Father on earth, having himself been glorified by the Father on earth. He now prayed to be glorified in heaven with that glory which he had laid aside when he came down to earth, and also with glory which he had now acquired as the perfect Son of Man, and which the Father promised to confer upon him. The death of the cross and the triumphant resurrection were the way to his glorification. The hour is come, said he, in going forward to the cross, that the Son of Man should be glorified. John 12 and verse 23. And in John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The bitter cup of death, which he had come to drink, he drank. And the victory over Satan, who held mankind in the power of death, was won by him. In heaven now, as the glorified one, The Lord Jesus is seen in all his divine fruitfulness. He is the bestower of eternal life. He not only has that eternal life in himself, but is able to reproduce it in a great harvest among the sons of men. That which once appeared a tragedy is God's tremendous triumph. It is not through his incarnation, nor through his perfect sinless life, nor through his omnipotent power that his eternal life is given us, but only through his death. He was the true seed in whom dwelt all the fullness of God, and through his death, resurrection, and ascension, he is the one conveyance of eternal life to our dead humanity. Now listen to the beautiful words of Arthur Cox. How beauteous were the marks divine that in thy meekness used to shine, that lit thy lonely pathway, trod in wondrous love, O Son of God. O who like thee, so calm, so bright, thou Son of Man, thou Light of Light, O who like thee did ever go, so patient through a world of woe, O who like thee so humbly bore the scorn, the scoffs of men before, so meek, so lowly, yet so high, so glorious in humility. Death, death that sets the prisoner free, was pang and scoff and scorn to thee. Yet love through all thy anguish glowed, and mercy in thy life-blood flowed. O wondrous Lord, my soul would be still more and more conformed to thee, with heart engaged along the road to trace thy footsteps, Son of God. Beautiful words. Amen.